Talking today about God is good. Our God is good, and everything He does is good. If you don't believe that, stay tuned and go back and listen to the message last week. And if God leads me, I plan to do some of the others in this series. You see, we are commanded not to be depressed because the joy of the Lord is our strength. When you start meditating upon the Word of God, my Word is spirit and life, Jesus said. When you begin to meditate upon His Word and pray over His Word, depression's got to go. Somebody say amen. Because His Word is powerful. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. A lot of people are depressed because they're not doing the Word. If you read these scriptures and meditate on these scriptures and memorize those who speak to you, then you will be able to chase off depression every time. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says, "Be not grieved and depressed." How many know that's a choice? And it's a command. We have a choice. We can decide if we're going to be depressed or we're going to get into the Word of God and meditate upon His Word and build our faith and chase off depression. Be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Some translations translate this as be not sorry or grieved, but the Amplified Bible correctly says be not grieved and depressed. It says don't do it, don't go there. So, well, I have depression. Well, you can get healed of that too. Can you say amen? If you have a chemical imbalance that's causing you to be depressed, you can be healed of that depression. The Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And that means He was whipped that you might not be depressed. He was whipped that you might have peace. Depression produces weakness, but joy produces strength. Remember that. Depression produces weakness, But rejoicing produces strength. Weakness, strength. Which one do you want? You see, the whole world went through a very fearful, sorrowful, depressing time with COVID-19, and many people seem to have never recovered. It's like there's a permanent depression came in. And everywhere I go, I still sense there's a little bit of depression out there. And people are still afraid of COVID. Hey, I refuse to be afraid of a virus. How about you? Amen. You see, discouragement, depression, sorrow, and fear can be deadly. During the COVID pandemic, there was a lot of suicides. The remedy is an encouraging word from the Lord Himself, and the Bible's full of it. The Knox County Mayor, Glenn Jacobs, during COVID, said there were 9 suicides in Knox County in our area in 48 hours. People were so depressed. People were being shut in. Those who had been on drugs and had various addictions, when they got shut in, it shut them off from their friends. It shut them off from any opportunity to really laugh and joke and carry on, and some of them committed suicide because they were so depressed because they were locked in and couldn't get to their friends. Glenn Jacobs said, "We need to be creating hope and optimism, not desperation and despair." And that's what a lot of people were creating. They were making it worse by what they were saying and the way they were behaving. The church is ordained of God to create hope. How many know that? And we're not to be a part of the fear-mongers. We're not to be in with that crowd. We need to be speaking the Word of God and speaking faith. The church is ordained of God to create hope, faith, and optimism. And that's what this series is all about. If you're down in the mully grubs, you need to be grabbing onto these scriptures and pull yourself out by the Word of God. You see, we have a choice. Be depressed or have strength through rejoicing. You got a choice. Be depressed or start rejoicing. So I don't have anything to be rejoiced about. Are you born again? Are you going to heaven? My goodness, what else you want? That's all you need to start rejoicing and praising God. You see, we have a choice. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice, is what the Bible says. During COVID, I preached this very series, Our God is Good, right in the middle of that nightmare, and I felt like it was really building my faith and confidence, and it was everyone else's. We only had one person to die of COVID in this church, and if someone past 80 and had some health issues, and they went to heaven. But other than that, God kept us all in good spirits, healed us, and delivered. About everybody had it, but we all got healed. We had several really clinging on to life by just a thread, and God healed them, raised them up, put them right back on their feet. And you can't really have faith if you're going to be depressed all the time. You got to make up your mind. Am I going to believe God? If you truly believe God, how can you be depressed if you believe he's on his way to rescue you? Yeah. So let's get a hold of God and memorize these scriptures. The church has a major role to play in giving people faith, hope, and optimism, and that goes on you and me. We are to be examples of faith and hope and optimism and rejoicing and not down like everybody else. Oh, my God, what's going to happen to our world? I'm believing God. God's going to take care of me no matter what happens to the world. Me and my family, thank you, Jesus. The church has a major role to play in giving people hope. And a lot of preachers, when you leave the church, you feel depressed. You want to go shoot yourself. About how bad things are. Listen, I didn't come to tell you how bad things are. I came to tell you how good things can be in Jesus Christ. And it's sure working for me and those who are putting their faith in Jesus Christ right here in this church. People, Jesus gave all of us reasons to always be hopeful, optimistic, and encouraged. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, and not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. A lot of people today almost worshiping animals and wishing that men will all die so that nature could just take its course. Well, let me tell you something. All of nature and everything around you see was created for you. And you're not just another animal or bird. And God, Jesus is making that point here. If the Lord would take care of a bird, he would take care of his humans that he created special. Humans are created special. They're not just another animal. They're designed by God to worship God, to have a relationship with God. And God holds us accountable for our behavior. He does not hold animals accountable. Amen. He holds us accountable for taking care of the animals. If God notices when a bird falls, he surely knows when you have a problem. Are not all sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? Verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. That tells you all you need to know. You're not just another animal. You are valuable to God. And you need to be worshiping God and praising God and rejoicing because God is on your side. If you're born again, he's not only on your side, he lives inside of you. He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the faith, live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That means he's got it. He's got it. Jesus said, do not fear because you are of greater value than a bird. You're of greater value than the animals. Don't let any secular humanist Marxist devil tell you any different. You are special, created in the very image of God. God even knows how many hairs you have or used to have. And he knows where every one of them are buried. Last week, we read Matthew 6:31. I need to tie these messages together. It says, do not worry then. Let me ask you, what do you think that means? What does that mean? It means do not worry. Do not worry then, saying, and this is the way we are. Whoa, what's going to happen in this economy? What's going to happen in this world? You know, they're threatening nuclear war. What are we going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to worry. Amen. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing, or how will we get out of this mess? How will we conquer this, conquer that? How will the Lord pay for this? How will he pay for that? That's not my problem. That's his problem. He feeds the bird, then he's going to feed me. Amen. I eat like a bird. Don't eat a whole lot, but he still provides what I need. Amen. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom. Oh, there's the key. So I had to get that in again this week. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Like, well, God's not blessing me. Well, do a checkup on yourself. Are you doing what he tells you to do? Are you obeying him? Are you doing the word? Do you make time to pray and meditate on the word of God? Do you make sure you're in church every Sunday? Today you have no excuse whatsoever. If you can't be here in person, you got live stream. Can you say amen? If you're on vacation on the moon, if we go to the moon, we'll have internet there, believe me. And you'll be able to live stream Eric Cumberson preaching live on the moon. You see, we are commanded not to worry because God has promised to provide. Jesus went well of his way to make this illustration here. He takes care of the animals. Don't you know he's going to take care of you? Why are you worrying? And we need to do our part. You can't be lazy, and you can't get mad and quit your job every time the boss says something you don't like. You see, we can fear not by daily focusing on these promises. Here are the last two verses we looked at last week. 1 Timothy 6:17, you need to memorize these. You need to memorize this one, do not worry then. And then this one, 1 Timothy 6:17, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Notice it says, this says we are to fix our hope on God. That is your only hope in everything. It's God that is to be your only hope in everything. Not trying to figure out how you're going to fix it. God shows you a way to fix it, drops a good idea in your heart. You better listen and do it. But on the other hand, your hope is in God to give you the ideas and even the ability to carry them out. Amen. It says, but on God, fix your hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. A lot of people believe if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be miserable your whole life. Live down by the railroad tracks. You have nothing but a biscuit and some water. Maybe a cup of cold coffee or something. But this says he wants me to have everything I need to be happy. Yeah. Read it again. Who richly supplies us with some things. Come on. You see, we don't believe the word of God. That's why we're depressed. And I'm not putting it on you. I'm the same way. I have to go back and get these scriptures and remind myself. That's the reason I have so many memorized. Because I have to stop when I get... How many know there's a devil? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It doesn't matter who you are, or where you are, or where you're going, or where you've been, or what you're planning on doing. The devil's going to be right there yelling boo in the dark. Amen. Boo. Trying to scare you and get you off track and tell you all the bad things that's going to happen. Right. My mother got sick. She's about sick, some words don't go together very well, for about 6 weeks. sick for about 6 weeks. And Dev said, she's not going to make her 101 birthday. I prayed that thing through, and I got a piece about it. And I was down there this week. I didn't get to stay for her birthday. I'd get back up here because I need to be with you. And I felt like I need to be here. Came back, did the men's prayer meeting yesterday morning, and that was her birthday. But boy, she perked up, and she was sitting in a chair talking to us, and she was remembering things. I said, "Mama, when was your daddy born?" She told me his day of birth, you know, and her mother. And I did our Zoom there from the house. And she sat through the whole thing for an hour. And she said, "Boy, I really enjoyed that." And so God really blessed her. Listen, the devil will tell you anything. You got to make up your mind what you're going to believe. And I'm not talking, don't go back in the past and say, "Boy, I could have changed things." No, when I'm talking about the past, I'm talking about your future. Let's learn how to truly believe God for right here and right now, and believe God for right here and right now. God has a different plan for different people. And God has just chosen to let my mother live long, but I refuse to let the devil to depress me, making me think things that's not going to happen. Most of what we worry about never even happened. Do not worry about things that never happen. Well, how do you know which ones are never going to happen? You don't, so don't worry about any of it. This is good, because it's the Word of God. I ain't even got started good yet. But boy, if you hadn't memorized this, you got to do it. At least this part: who richly supplies me with all things to enjoy. Say that with me. Who richly supplies me with all things to enjoy. Make the Word of God personal. It's written to you. Who do you think? Well, it's written to they. You're they. It's written to them. It's written to everyone else. No, it's written to all of them and me and you. Who richly supplies me with all things to enjoy. This says we are to fix our hope on God, because He richly supplies us, me, with all things to enjoy. He blesses us abundantly so we can enjoy life without worrying about it. I'm just reading the Bible. Now, you can believe anything you want to believe, and most people will. They have a way of ignoring me and just sloughing it off. Well, I got used to that, so I don't worry about it. Then I just keep right on preaching it. He said, because it works for me and many others right here as well. We are to fix our hope on God, nothing else. No matter what happens, I run to Him. Oh, my mind tries to figure it out, but I say, okay, calm down, boy. We're going to get a hold of God. We're not going by your logic. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God might supply all your needs. You just never know what He's going to do. That's what people say, but that's not what the Word says. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That means according to His riches means it's not going to be barely enough. It's going to be more than enough. A businessman said to me 30, 40 years ago, he said, "Barry, if you pray that God would just supply your need, that's a selfish prayer." I said, "What are you talking about, selfish prayer?" He says, "Yes, because if you're praying just for what you need, you won't have anything for anyone else." Boy, he nailed it, didn't he? I want to be blessed so I can bless others. And so when we have needs in the church, I can help pay for it. Can you say amen? Amen. You can make up your mind. You can be a giver or taker. And God blesses the givers. You can always be looking for a handout, or you can be looking for a way to bless someone else. You can be looking for a way to get blessed, or you can be looking for a way to be a good Samaritan and help others. When God reminded me this week when I first came here, I was saying, "Oh God, you got to send people to help me." And the Lord spoke to me, said, "I didn't send you to Knoxville to be helped. I sent you to Knoxville to help." And He reminded me of that this week. I don't think I need to be reminded, but I'm glad I got reminded anyway. Because we do need to be reminded occasionally. I think I still know that, but sometimes I guess we drift off. We need to remember that we're here to help other people, and you can't do it if you walk around depressed and down all the time. You got to be encouraging people, building people up, joking, you know, in a good way. You know, don't be making fun of their bald head like some of you people do. But But build people up, bless people, edify and build up one another. Depression is of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers who bring depression or no oppression and fear and doubt. And the way you get rid of it, I believe, is read the word, pray of the word, and go rejoicing. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. You see, God has plans to prosper his people, but Satan has plans to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's look at that. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. If you haven't memorized that one, memorize it. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. Many people in the church have bought into that, and I'm telling you right now, they're on their way to becoming millionaires, not because that's their goal in life. Their goal in life is to put the kingdom first and please God and use what they have for the glory of God, and God just keeps on blessing them. I know the plans. Now, you can believe anything you want to believe, but I choose to believe this. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. God put this terrible cancer on me to teach me something. This is plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Cancer harms you. But who put it there? The devil. And if it's God's time for you to go to heaven, you're going to go to heaven one way or the other. But if it's not God's time for you to go to heaven, get healed. Amen. And put the kingdom first. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Can we believe God to give each of us his plan and give us the ability to carry it out? It's not just enough to know what his plan is. You have to have the anointing and the ability and the knowledge to carry it out, to make it happen. You see, he has a plan to prosper us and to give us a bright future. Say, I have a bright future. Say it. I have a bright future. Because of Jesus. But Jesus said, according to your faith. So we have to, what is faith? Believe in these promises. And if you don't really have them in you, you can pray over them till they really get in you. That's the reason I can preach these with such conviction. I've prayed until they're in me, and I have most of these memorized. Or at least the parts that really speak to me. Not brand complaining, I'm just telling you how it works. My son, attend to my words. Incline an ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart for their life of those that find them and health to all their flesh. How are you going to keep it in the midst of your heart? Memorize it. And you don't have to sit down when you get home, memorize every one of these. The two or three that really talks to you, memorize them. And the ones I'm emphasizing might just be God emphasizing them. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you, not to harm you. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. Wow, what is wisdom? It's the ability to get a pay raise. Amen. If you have wisdom, and if you have wisdom, which is the ability to make good decisions, your boss is going to notice you're making good decisions, and there's a good chance you'll get a pay raise out of it. Amen. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Well, if it comes from his mouth, we need to spend time talking to the guy. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, y'all pay attention. If any man hear, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and opens the door, I come into him and sup with him, and he with me. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. I need to be in tune with him. Verse 7, he holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. He holds victory in store for Barry Cumberson. He holds victory in store for David. He holds victory in store for every one of us who put the kingdom first. He has victory in store for Linda Deering, and she has seen it over and over again, right? And when you put the kingdom first, he has a plan for you, and it is not to harm you. The devil has a plan to harm you. Don't misunderstand. He doesn't have to do anything bad to you to teach you something. The devil's going to do it, and then God can redeem the bad thing and bring good out of it. But God is the redeemer. Jesus is the redeemer that redeems the bad stuff. He doesn't send the bad stuff. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. Well, how do I get my life blameless? Ask God to forgive your sins and cleanse you and forget it. You're blameless before God if your sins are under the blood. If our sins are gone, we are blameless. He is our shield from failure, and he holds victory in store. Say, he holds victory in store. Say it. He holds victory in store. Come on. He holds victory in store. What are you facing at work? Can you believe that God's going to fix it? If he don't fix it, then I believe he'll give you a better job. Verse 8, for he guards the course of the just. That means he guards my way so no one can trip me up. As long as I'm focused on him and his word, and it's my heart's desire to serve him. He guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. You see, he will guard and protect us in his will. We need to ask him what his will is and get in his will. Isaiah 54, verse 14, in righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. Well, how do I get to be righteous? You get washed in the blood by confessing your sins and confessing him as your Lord. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. See, he can give you a bubble of peace that will keep you from fear. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Verse 15, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Don't be messing with me. Amen. Don't be messing with God's people. It says those people at work, they gather against you to harm you. They're going to fall. You're going to look around one day and they're going to be gone. Ask John Uchai. He's had three or four bosses mistreat him. And they all got fired and he's still there. Over a period of many, many years. Is John in here? Say something, John. Say amen to what I just said. God has fired your bosses about three or four times. All of them. Yay. See, a lot of Christians just don't get that. Boy, if you serve God, it's just going to be a rough road to hoe. That is just not true. Now, if you're on the fence and you're halfway serving the devil, halfway serving God, yeah. But if you're all the way on God's side, putting the kingdom first, God's going to take care of you. God is not the source of our problem. I say God is not the source of our problem. No weapon that is formed against thee, verse 17, shall prosper. If you haven't memorized that one, you got to do it. Isaiah 54, verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Change that to me. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And then it talks about people who say bad things about you. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. That's a line. I condemn that. I'm just reading it. God will keep us from oppression and fear. He says, whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. He also says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. I say, no weapon, disease, sickness, addiction, bondage, anything bad formed against me shall prosper. Your strep throat devil is not going to prosper. Yay. Sickness, the virus is not going to prosper coming against me. We wrestle not against, come on, let's remember the word of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You say, well, if you're an educated guy, you know there's viruses. Yes, I have an earned doctorate. I know there's viruses, but I know who's behind it too. Does it seem that you always connect with a virus or something? The devil knows how to connect you up. He knows which doorknob you're going to catch a hold of, so he puts a virus on it. Yay. You may think that sounds silly, but you get that virus on your finger and touch your nose, and The devil can set you up. And you got to have the attitude, devil, whatever you got for me is not going to prosper, man. Amen. Do you like that attitude?
Yes.
That attitude comes from the Bible. I just read it. Yes. Reading it to you. That's an attitude. Not put nothing on me. Lying the devil. You see, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of the pestilence. What does that mean? The snare or the fallow is the things that the traps that the devil has set for you. And it says he will deliver you from the snare of the fallow. It's a bird hunter, and they set these traps for birds and put some seed or something in the trap. The bird goes in, trips the trap, and he falls, and the bird is trapped. And it says, when someone is out to get you or to trap you, or the devil's out to trap you, that you'll be delivered from that.
Amen.
Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles, except for one or two. These three people are paying attention. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, most of us have been reading the Bible for years, and because we have been programmed by certain preachers and certain people to believe certain things, we somehow ignore that. Well, I know it says that, but that's just not reality. It's not reality because you don't believe it. And people are going to answer to God for not believing his word. You can't just excuse somebody. Well, I know it's there, but that's not what it means. That is what it means. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And so be encouraged. The Lord's going to save you out of your troubles. Don't get it. Well, I've been trying to believe God. It's just getting. Well, you keep believing God.
Amen.
Don't you dare give up. The only hope the devil has of winning against you is if you quit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Those who obey him have angels watching over them. The angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear God. Fear him and delivereth them. Do you have a healthy, reverent fear of God? Verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. What does that mean? There's no lack. God will provide whatever you need if you walk in life with a healthy, reverent fear of God. Well, what does that mean? It means you're afraid to disobey him. That's what it means. How many wish you as smart as I am? Okay. Most of you are probably smarter. That's just common sense. You know, you just obey him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Those who have a reverent fear of disobeying him, they are blessed coming in and going out. There is no light for those folks. Verse 10, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Are you seeking the Lord? Are you happy just to go down the road you're going down and not really seek the will and the presence of God and the will of God? They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You see, I have no lack because I seek him. This says, if we seek the Lord, we will have no lack. Every need will be met. I can testify for all these years, every need I've ever had has been met. And then a lot more than just my needs. He's given me things I didn't even ask for. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. You say, I got an eye watching over me. And some of you are afraid of that because you may be doing some things you don't want him to see. He's going to see it. So I ask him to forgive you and help you to overcome it. He said, well, I've got a habit addiction. Well, pray that God deliver you and keep on going. Don't give up. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them from every trap and every bad thing. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Verse 10, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Every need will be met. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Well, I pray it just seems like God never hears me. He's hearing you. You just not believing it. You got to believe it. If you said a great big old ugly cuss word, he'd hear that, wouldn't he? And when you pray, he hears that too. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all of their troubles. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. See, we are not promised trouble-free environment. God never promised us a trouble-free environment. We live in a demonized world, as a matter of fact. Expect attacks because the Bible says the whole world is under the power of the devil. You need to understand there's demons and devils all around you. You can't see them, but there's also angels all around you. And when you really put your faith in God, it activates the angels, I believe. But when you put your faith in God, I know the Lord will show up. Expect attacks because the devil says this whole world is under the power of the devil. So don't be surprised when you have a problem, but trust God to get you out of it, to deliver you out of every trap and from every plague. What's a plague? COVID-19. What's a pestilence? COVID-19. But the Lord has promised to deliver us out of all of our troubles and all our afflictions and all of our afflictions. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place. It's important to dwell in the secret place. What is that? That's your prayer closet. Stay close to the heart of God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Surely He shall deliver thee from the trap and from the plague. You see, the person that some people... always trying to stir up fear. Well, there's probably, and some even prophesy there's another big plague coming on the world. Well, don't listen to those folks. If it does come, so what? We'll defeat it just like we defeated the last one. He'll deliver me from the plague and from the noisome pestilence. The person that dwells in persistent prayer can be delivered from the plague. The secret place means you got to be praying and seeking the face of God all the time. All the time. What does that mean? It means no matter what you're doing, you're asking God for direction. Lord, I want you to lead me and guide me and direct me. Don't let me grab a hold of the wrong doorknob. It has the virus on it. Verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. No evil thing shall come on me, and no plague shall come nigh my dwelling. I pray over my house, the devil, you stay away from this place. I left the house a while ago. I said, Lord, give your angels charge over this house, protect and keep it. To God be the glory in the name of Jesus. And I guarantee He's got angels watching over it right now. Amen. Don't go over and mess with that house. Okay. You'll be in big trouble. If we dwell in His presence, we can claim these promises, abide in Him. Genesis 32, verse 24. Now, this is a little bit of an example of how you really can walk in victory and live in victory. Got to move right along. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Then the man asked him, what is your name? And Jacob, he answered, verse 28. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. You see, we must stay in persistent prayer until we overcome. You got a problem, you pray that thing through because you've got these promises. You know that God wants to bless you and prosper you, so you pray until you get victory over that depression, get victory over that fear, get victory over that mountain, get victory over Goliath in your life, and you pray until you know you've got victory in here, and then you walk it out. We must stay in persistent prayer until we overcome. Jacob stayed in prayer until he received. You see, this must be our attitude. I will not let you go unless you bless me, unless you bless my family, my mama, my brothers and sisters, unless you bless my church, unless you bless America, I will not let you go. I'm going to pray and intercede until I know in my heart your blessing. Me and my family and even my nation. You see, God has ordained prayer so strongly that heavenly beings cannot ignore it. Notice that Jacob won the battle in prayer, and he was afraid of Esau. When Esau finally showed up, he gave him a big hug. God had fixed that. All that hate and bitterness, God had fixed it. Be not grieved and depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Claim all of these promises in prayer. Stay in the secret place. You see, we're commanded not to be depressed, but because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Be not grieved, be not depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. God has plans to prosper his people, but we must believe him and his promises and go rejoicing. Let's all stand.